Hey, dude, guess what tonight?
What?
Pool party, my house, 8 o'clock. This is Pool Party Radio. This week, I'm your host, Jason Frisbee, because Parker couldn't find time to make it to join us this week. The a-hole thinks that it's awesome to go to Las Vegas and ditch everything that he knows and loves and cares about, so he expects me to pick up the reins. JK, JK, Parker's in Vegas celebrating wifey anniversary stuff, so congrats to him and the wife. And whatnot. And let's hope that their time is or is not like the Hunter S. Thompson excursion to Las Vegas. And it'll be yet to be seen if he brings RoboJohn Brown with him. According to last week's episode, Mr. Unstable demolished RoboJohn Brown in our first ever Pool Party Radio rap battle. Nice. So John Brown is significantly distraught and absent. I think he actually went to Vegas with Parker. Because they hang out all the goddamn time, even on anniversary journeys. And Parker will be back next week, and we have a special Saved by the Bell episode coming up soon with our special guest, Mary. We'll be talking about Season 2 of Saved by the Bell. That's coming up. If you have any questions or comments, you can always contact us by emailing us at poolpartyradio@gmail.com. Or you can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/poolpartyradio. And, of course, the website, poolpartyradio.com, and on iTunes, and on Stitcher, and anywhere else in the sun. You can find us all over those internets. Like us on Facebook. Give us a 4-star or 5-star or an 11-star review on iTunes. Leave some comments. Get us on that new and featured board so we can keep getting the hope and motivation to do this fucking thing. No, just kidding. We love it. Comment on the poolpartyradio.com website, where you can find all our old episodes. This week, I am joined instead by longtime friend of the show, longtime personal friend, and absent visitor from the show recently. So we're glad to have him back, John Holmes. How are you today, John?
Thank you for tuning in to Action 7 News. Sperm-flavored mouthwash? This more coming up.
It happened.
It happened.
So how are you doing, John?
I'm good.
Good. What have you been up to since we last spoke? Just for everybody, actually, when was the last time that we spoke on the show?
On the show, it's been a long time. We recorded, we tried to record a show like a year ago or 6 months ago or something. And it just didn't take. Because my mic was shitty, and Parker forgot to hit record and shit.
Yeah.
It was awful.
It was around Christmas of 2011.
Yeah.
And we were trying to record, and we actually tried it like 3 times or so.
Yeah, I think so.
And it ended up being like the 9-volt honey episode, where it's just mess up after mess up.
Yeah.
It was the worst Christmas ever.
So many people were without presents that year.
Yeah, it was a mess.
Kids were crying. Orphans died.
That was mostly your responsibility, too.
Well, yes, I'll take, yeah, well, I mean, orphans aren't going to die on them by themselves, are they? I mean, come on.
You need a Kickstarter to help out.
Yeah.
But yeah, we tried a couple of times to get you to record, and it was just an amalgamation of, like, mic problems or Skype problems or what have you. But you got a new mic now.
Yeah, finally, after, like, 2 years.
It's actually the same mic that I had recently gotten. So we're snazzy mic twins.
Nice.
And
twins.
And here we are. So what have you been doing in the meantime since, like, Christmas time.
Oh, like, well, for the past year, or, yeah, about a year now, I've been doing comedy, like, three to four nights a week, steadily, every week. So that's, what, 52 weeks? Times four? So that's about, what, 12 million shows I've done? I think that's right. I didn't go to school for math.
Yeah, who did? This is America, damn it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you've been doing 12 million shows for the past couple months. And this is in Cincinnati, right?
Yes, I'm still in Cincinnati, doing my shit there. I was in the funniest person in Cincinnati contest. I got through to round one. I got through round one, and I'm now going up in, again, on round two on the 25th of July.
Awesome. 25th of July. I was actually there for round one.
You were nice enough to come down.
Yeah, it was me and I think like three other people and then all of your comic friends.
Yeah.
Some who were up and some who weren't up. And you got on to the next round, which was really impressive.
Yeah. I was kind of... They really liked me. Well, it helped that three people went over time and got disqualified.
Oh, I thought it was just one person. I remember that one guy was... He kept talking and just did not recognize the end result.
No, and then a couple other people did that, too.
So, for the people that went up for the funniest person in Cincinnati, I got the backstory from a few people about some of the folks who had gone up before on this competition, but you mentioned going over on time, and it seemed like a few people were, like, they'd probably gone up once or twice, but definitely not a couple times a week.
No, yeah.
But still, like, a lot of the show was pretty funny, I thought.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to give the wrong message. I got through because I'm fucking hilarious.
Right.
All right. So I want people thinking, well, I wonder if he's funny. No, I'm funny. I got through because I had a killer set that night.
You're the Jerry Lewis of our time.
Yes. Well.
You're the Milton Berle of our time. You're the Bob Hope of our time. You're the Sarah Silverman of our time.
Thank you. I am.
Every generation needs a voice.
Ever since she perished in that horrible helicopter crash into Mount Rushmore, it just hasn't been the same, and I think I'm ready to take up her reins, you know?
Never forget. So, you're going back on July 25th, and this is going to be at Go Bananas.
Yes, Go Bananas in Montgomery, Ohio. Montgomery, Cincinnati, Ohio.
And it'll be you and how many other comedians going up this time?
I think 16. And it's going to be hard this time because it's like all the riffraff is gone. And it's just like some really talented people. But there's one guy I'm afraid of. His name's Brian Million.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's really good. He's just, he brings a ton of people, and he's older, but he has well-crafted stage presence, so I just have to bring it. Then I've been working on new bits, a whole new 5 minutes. Well, no, about maybe 30 seconds of it is recycled from last time. But still, it's basically a whole new set list. Everything that I'm going to be telling on the 25th, except for one joke, is just like a month old.
Really?
Yeah, like 3 weeks old.
So this would be a completely different set from the last time you went up.
Oh, okay, right? Completely different.
Well, cool.
I worked hard to think up new jokes and create, and like I delved deep into writing and stuff, and I really came out. Well, I just came back from doing a show at Morty's in Indiana. Morty's Comedy Joint in, Indianapolis. And I did a set there that I just crushed it.
Really?
So, yeah. So I think I'm gonna be doing that same set I did at Morty's at Go Bananas.
Where can people find you usually in Cincinnati, like during the week?
Oh, I'll be at Mayday's, or Mayday, it's a bar in Northside in Cincinnati. I'll be at Baba Boudin's, it's a bar in Clifton that has an open mic every Thursday. And every Wednesday I'm at Go Bananas. Just, if I'm, even if I'm not on the show, I'm just there to hang out, because that's what, you know what, I hear a lot of comics talking to me, a lot of young people talking to me, saying like, oh yeah, I don't like Go Bananas, I find them too clicky, or it's so hard to become a comic because no one gives you advice and stuff. It's like, dude, no one gave me advice at all, until like, at anything, but you found out what worked by judging by the audience's reaction.
Right. Yeah.
And if you hang around at Go Bananas enough, people are going to start noticing you, and they're going to start, and if you do well, then the people are going to start appreciating you, and you'll be included in the circle. That's how I got in. I mean, I just did well, and I was funny, and I kept coming out. So, I don't really understand this thing that, like, oh, Go Bananas people are too clicky. It's a big thing in Cincinnati, comedy scene.
It seems like, with the ability to do a few shows per night, it's definitely different from what was only my experience up in Dayton, when Dayton was trying to get some sort of foothold of a comedy scene. And as far as I can remember, that was very similar to the experience I had, was what you're describing. I had a open mic set at Wiley's that did really well, and I was trying out some new material at it and everything, and the guy who ran the open mic there, Jack Wilson, I think still does it, he approached me after the show and was aware that I'd done this comedy class through Wright State and asked me to, you know, try to wrangle up some students and do like a theme show for it.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if it would have been the same reaction had I just bombed and basically did the same rambling set that somebody else had before.
Yeah.
Whereas kind of a guy who I guess had just gone up for the first time, it was a really uncomfortable set to watch. And I went up right after this guy, I think, so that may have helped contrast, is because I actually had like a set time frame down and a few things that I thought were jokes at the time, whereas this guy was talking about how he just got out of prison or something.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and just basically talking.
It's amazing, like, how many crazy people will still go up to Go Bananas, even though you have to email the booker and he'll email you back. It's usually about a three-week process, or not three-week. It's usually about, like, a week process of from emailing him to getting on the show. Maybe it's 1 or 2 weeks. But still, the amount of crazy people who still have an email address and can bring 5 people out, and just the amount of just insane people that get up there. And then you'll hear them talking after the show. They'll just bomb. They'll talk about, like, my cat's anus was looking at me the other day, and you're like, what the fuck? And that's actually a quote from a real guy. I'm not going to say who, but yeah. Cassianus was his opener.
It's a killer opener, though. It's cool. It kills in Poughkeepsie, so.
Yeah.
Can't really fault him.
And then at the end, you'll hear these comics that bomb just go, man, I don't know. It was the crowd just wasn't into me. I don't understand why. I think it's the crowd. Yeah, it's always the crowd, buddy. It's always the crowd. It's not that you can't write a joke to save your life.
The weird thing that I've found with talking with other comics, and especially after shows where either I bombed or hearing about somebody else bombing, was the amount of self-deprecation that you really need to have. Like, you can have ego, but you really need to be somehow self-deprecating and able to criticize yourself, too.
How so?
Well, like, you mentioned blaming the audience for not getting a response for the cat anus joke. There has to be a point where you go, oh, you know what, I did not even make a joke out of that. That was shitty. Yeah. And some might say, like, you have to prepare for it or whatever, but, yeah, it's odd.
I wouldn't call that self-deprecation, though. I would just say that that's more self-awareness.
I call it self-deprecation because I am severely depressed.
Okay.
And if it's criticism, then I'd take, you give me an inch and I'll take miles and miles and just beat myself over the head with, you know, how much I suck at something.
That's your weakest personality trait.
Excellent therapy session. That's your weakest that's your weakest personality trait. The one that's obviously the most terrible. All that hyperbole you went into is so obviously what makes it bad. But yeah, so that's exciting that you're going up and doing an all new set then for this Go Bananas set on the 25th. Good luck on it.
Thank you.
And I'm sure you'll do well.
Thank you.
But in these comedy clicks you're going to, like, when was the last time that you performed? This is Saturday, by the way. So when was the last time you performed since this Saturday?
Wednesday at Morty's.
Morty's in Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
Indianapolis. So I'm sure that there was some discussion about this internet's civil wars of Daniel Tosh and the alleged rape joke.
You know what? That, like, the only thing I've ever really heard about it was just other comics making fun of the whole situation.
Which is excellent, is probably as far as it should go. What's been really disturbing is seeing other comics drop comedy to do some commentary on this. Describe, like, basically going for either camp. Which seems really suspect to me, since no one can actually describe or dictate what exactly was he said. Like, there's one that describes him, like, the Tumblr post describes him as being, like, an amateurish comedian who this person has never heard of, despite the fact that he has the highest-rated Comedy Central show on right now, which, by the way, was dropped by DirecTV this past Tuesday, so go figure the coincidence of, huh?
Comedy Central was?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Comedy Central, Nickelodeon, a couple other Viacom cable package channels. Kind of like the AMC IFC thing that happened with Dish a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
That was a huge deal, but no one seems to be talking about the DirecTV dropping like half of its catalog.
Oh my God.
Because of this Viacom thing. Yeah, yeah. So lo and behold that this information from a Tumblr post comes out around the same time as, you know, Daniel Tosh losing a lot of his audience anyway.
Yeah.
So, go figure. But anyway, depending on where you get the information from, it seems like most people just read an article about a blog that they could easily have researched.
Uh-huh.
Or if you went to the Daily Buzz and got the comedy club owner's Laugh Factory in L.A., his report of it, which is just as vague and hazy, it's like a non-issue. There's no premise to go off of. So it's people basically having this ethical argument about stand-up comedy again. And it's the same shit coming out of the woodwork where it's like making stand-up comedy more than a subjective art, which is still rude to be heckling during, like any other. What are your comments and thoughts at first blush of this? Like, obviously making fun of the entire thing is the best way to go and discuss it. Like, in any form,
People
severely drop the ball on that.
It's all right. From all accounts, he made a rape joke. And then this girl was like, I don't find that funny. And then he said something about, like, I hope you're gang raped right now. Or wouldn't it be funny if you were gang raped right now? Or something along those lines. Now, the idea behind, I mean, the rape joke, I didn't hear it, so I can't say if it was or was not funny. But the whole, I hope you're gang raped right now, or the idea of, or the basic premise of, like, wouldn't it be funny if you were gang raped right now, isn't that funny. So that's all I can really judge it on. I'm not going to judge it on merits, on like, oh, should it? What if you said, I mean, because there are people who get raped. There have also been men who've had their lives ruined by a false claim of rape. So, Jason.
Yes.
Do you want to hear my rape joke?
Yeah, go for it.
All right. I was in this class at Wright State University once. It was an English 101 class. And I took it with this police officer who told the entire class one day, because on the subject of rape came up, and he said that if a girl has had any amount of alcohol in her system, it can be construed as rape. And so that eliminates all the drunken hookups that I've had. So guys, what I think I'm telling you is this. I think that I've been raped.
Because of the intoxication on I've been intoxicated. The girl's part. Right.
Yeah. And slept with a girl. I think that means I've been raped.
How many times have you told that joke?
Oh, like maybe once. Maybe once.
Yeah, I don't even know if I had anything that would come close to like any sort of edgy humor. But how did it go over?
Some people booed. It was a large enough crowd though that it went over. That it was actually used that I told us or something similar to that effect. On the subject when I opened for Greg Fitzsimmons.
Really? Where'd you open for Greg Fitzsimmons? Was that in Wright Chicago?
State. No, Wright State.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So what do you do with the audience reaction? Like, how do you go about it after that?
He gave me a great piece of advice afterwards. He said, if you know that you're gonna tell a joke that's gonna get groans or, like, people booing or something, be ready for that, and then challenge them with their own shit. Say something like, oh, what, that's not true? You can legally, and then I thought of a great tag for that afterwards. I thought of this great part where it's like, you can legally have a beer and drive a car, but you can't legally have a beer and have sex? That doesn't make any sense.
Right. Yeah, it definitely lends itself to be a joke material, and one of the things that came across over articles I was scanning, one was from Jezebel, and it broke down, like, appropriate ways to go about a rape.
Yeah, yeah.
When dealing with, like, the fact that there's a lot of women who've been raped, and that's only for the ones that are accounted for. Like, there are ones that have not been accounted for because, you know, victims are too afraid to come forward or whatever. And yeah, it's a weird delineation because I think people are forgetting that stand-up comedy is this, I mean, it's a process art form where I'm pretty sure people are more used to seeing like a polished product of something that came out for like a year or two's long hard work of material grinding and writing and performing and restructuring and reperforming and ad-libbing and trying new things out. For what they see as, like, you know, the next Jim Gaffigan special.
Yeah.
Which is a special of, like, a guy who's been touring with this material for most of the year. So he's been trying this, like, in different clubs every night. And then when he feels like that he has a good hour set, that's when he does this new special. And I think part of me thinks that, like, a lot of this reaction is the fact that, you know, Daniel Tosh has a show where he has writers writing these jokes for him. And this was a night when he came on just trying new material. And again, depending on what you read, that's going to dictate like how the joke actually came out or what the comment was. Like for instance, on BuzzFeed, the interview with the club owner, his vague recount of it was that, Daniel Tosh asked the audience, so what do you guys want to talk about? Like when he first came on stage, and trying to get ideas for topics or something to riff on. And apparently somebody in the audience might have said, you know, rape as a topic. It might have been like a shitty amateur comedian or it might have just been a shitty person.
Yeah.
But then another person in the audience, this woman, was trying to shout it out by saying, no, rape is painful, don't talk about it. And Daniel being caught in the middle of this and trying to probably move forward with something they could actually discuss, says, well, it sounds like she's probably been raped by five guys, or something like that, according to the club owner.
Yeah.
This kind of weirds me out because it's, again, like, it's going back to, like, no one actually knows.
Yeah, exactly.
The exact dictation. Remember, like, a year ago when Tracy Morgan was getting so much shit for his
stand-up?
And it was like, you could actually trace, you know, there were different accounts, but they all said the same thing. Like, if I had a gay son, I would slit his neck open.
I think he said punch him in the face.
Punch him in the face? I thought he was, like, threatening with a knife or something. But see, like, even now, like, we can't even recollect what it was that was said.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It was something anti-homophobic.
Yeah.
Homophobic.
See, again, that's part of the problem, though, is that when you don't know the actual joke in context, it's like Jezebel's coming out with, you know, top 10 most appropriate rape jokes. Yeah. So if it's all about context and how it's said, then why isn't anybody actually paying attention to the context and how it's said in this case? I mean, I feel like people are putting a lot of pressure on an open mic night of comedy for Daniel Tosh, where they kind of expected to see a polished performance on all counts.
I fucking agree with you 100%. I'm glad you said this. You said that much more succinctly than I could, because I'm a little drunk, but... I agree with you exactly. Well, to be fair, I'm always a little drunk.
Who isn't?
Yeah.
Just a little bit, skis.
But, yeah, man, it's like, no one can, unless you show me video of exactly what he says, and I can decipher what's going on, I can't tell you if it's funny or not, or if it was appropriate or not, or, because no one seems to be able to say exactly what happened.
Yeah. To me, that's the most infuriating part about this is, there's no premise to discuss. Like, I thought about sounding off on it, and they're like, no, this is kind of fucking dumb, because everyone's sounding off about a complete non-issue. Like, there's nothing here. I think the smartest thing Daniel Tosh did was release that tweet, like, despite all the miscontext and misquoting, you know, sorry for whatever. And that's exactly what he probably should have said, but he hasn't been on since, and... But it just pisses me off that people are starting petitions to get him off the air and shit. Again, what a coincidence this is all happening as DirecTV is pulling Comedy Central and Tosh.0 from its package system. Like, probably one of the more profiteering...
I can't imagine why they'd be doing that. Why DirecTV would be pulling Comedy Central when it's, like, one of the highest ratings cable company in the basic cable package.
The same thing happened with Dish and IFC and AMC. AMC especially with Breaking Bad starting up again this Sunday.
Oh, that's... I can't believe that. I couldn't believe that either.
Yeah, it's all just contractual bullshit. I mean, it's petty and all this stuff. Like, it's going to be... There'll just be, like, minor footnotes in the progression towards people being able to pick out their own media and entertainment formats.
Yeah.
Like, it's starting with Netflix... And I think when Netflix was threatening to go with a bundle package for a cable network, I'm like, you know what? We like what we're doing. We're going to be a cable channel instead. Do you remember this? Like the press release from a year or so ago? They were threatening to just like drop their entire outfit just to do what HBO's doing. You're like, yeah, we really like what we're doing, but we really want to be a part of a cable bundle. And people were like, that's dumb. You're pioneering exactly what we want. Which is to have streaming and do whatever the hell we want. This will probably just be another footnote, like these cable battles and shit. But it's just bizarre because, I mean, I still think Daniel Tosh is hilarious. I think he's just a fall guy at this point in this entire discussion. And the fact that people are putting these petitions to get him off the air. I mean, people are saying like, this isn't censorship. It's like minded adults coming together.
Yeah.
To promote good taste. It's like, how Victorian of you. That's awesome. Cause, and I'm not saying it's like thought police or anything. I'm just saying it's a really dumb fucking move. Like, yeah, so what? Go to any open mic. Don't just go to the All-Star Comedy Night.
Yeah.
Which features like Dom Herrera, Dane Cook. And it's like, why are you going to watch Dane Cook? Yeah. That's the offensive part about this. The offensive thing.
Dom Herrera. I don't really like him.
Yeah, it's odd. It's just so odd that this is what's upsetting when I don't even get the feeling that people have gone to enough open mics to to dictate, you know, a person's career. Like, get him kicked off because I don't like this thing that he might have said, but I'm still unsure about.
Yeah.
It's dumb. The entire thing is dumb, and I wish people had more of the good sense to, especially comedians on Twitter, just the good sense to joke about it instead of, you know, draw these lines on this fucking sand.
Yeah. It's just another issue about, like, what can you say, what can't you say, and then it gets blown into this bigger issue of, like, oh, what censorship is, fuck you, and what, it's like, it's not about that. It should be about what's funny.
Yeah. Yeah, and
since no one can tell me what exactly he said, I can't tell you if it's funny.
The entire thing, I just find so hard to believe. It's just, if it was an open mic style thing for these prominent comedians at the Laugh Factory, there has to have been some sort of recording, especially these days. I'm not talking about people with phones, but I'm just talking about some of the comedians themselves. Like,
yeah,
I'm going to record my set, might as well record Daniel Tosh's since he's going to be up here. I mean, hell, like, that Michael Richards thing from years ago came in crystal clear.
Yeah.
And it seems like ever since that instance, when you could see exactly what he was saying and just how unfunny and unprepared he was to deal with a heckler, like in that instance, then it became this issue where it's like we have to not thought police, but just police what's going on stages, even if we're not there or have any accord of what happened. And yeah, it blows my fucking mind that this was even a thing. Like, again, square one. What was said? You don't know. You didn't read the Tumblr? Like, the Tumblr itself is, it's this post, and then the last of five previous posts, and only five posts from, you know, February, is about, like, a Nutella chocolate cake this person had, and it's a picture of it. It's like, it's just baked goods, and then it's like, oh, here's a thing that happened to my friend at the Laugh Factory, in her own words. It's like, well, it's not her own words, because you're dictating it. So unless you're a fucking stenographer, this isn't exactly what happened. And considering it's a story, it's probably blown out of proportion anyway. I don't know. It's,
you know what, Jason? You know
what? Yes. What?
We're done talking about this. Let's move on.
To what?
Mouthwash that tastes like sperm. Is that real? I heard about this earlier. I think I heard someone mention this earlier. Is that a real thing?
Well, I actually had this traumatic experience when I was a kid where I was on the Beast roller coaster.
Yeah.
And I think it was a little bit short for the ride. The Beast roller coaster is in Kings Island, by the way. So long story short, yeah, I was on the Beast, too short, came to a sudden stop, and I bit my tongue. So now everything tastes like semen to me.
Oh, okay.
But this is a product that's supposed to take, like, horse semen?
Sure.
Where did you hear about this?
Oh, I made it out.
Excellent. We'll be right back after this brief message with some more Pool Party Radio.
Hey, gang, it's Parker. As you can tell, I'm not on the show this week. Me and Robo John Brown are in Las Vegas, but we'll be back next week. In the meantime, you can catch me on Pod Awful at podawful.com. Me and host Jesse P.S. will be doing an audio commentary for the film Mac and Me. That will be this Sunday, July 22nd at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. If you don't remember the movie Mac and Me, that's probably for the best. It's a shitty movie about a shitty alien who comes to shitty Earth. He makes friends with some shitty stupid kid. They get into like a lot of adventures. I think they eat at McDonald's a lot. I think the whole movie is a commercial for McDonald's. A bunch of other stupid stuff probably happens. The movie's on Netflix Instant, so you can watch along with us if you want. There's also a chat room, so you can throw in your two cents. If you don't want to watch it with us, that's fine too. Just come hang out, listen to the show. There's probably going to be some chuckles and belly laughs. That will be this Sunday, podawful.com/TV. Me, Jesse P.S., aliens, fun stuff.
Yeah, I applied to but I'm unemployed again.
Right, with school out?
Yeah, and I was scoring tests, like statewide tests.
Yeah.
And that ended. That was just a temp job.
Right.
and so I'm unemployed again. But I hate to beat a dead horse, but it's this economy, you know.
Yeah, it is.
People just aren't buying ketamine like they used to.
Ketamine. Right. Yeah. And when you're a ketamine salesman.
Yeah, it's hard. You know what? My small business of ketamine sales went under. Ketamine sales and distribution, it tanked. I thought it'd be lucrative. I thought I'd end up like Scarface, but no. I was a washout.
Then snake oil, I think, were your two main things, right? Snake oil and ketamine?
Listen. It's John Holmes's all-natural penis cream enlarger.
Uncle John Holmes, old-fashioned, good time
penis cream. Good time penis cream.
Good time penis cream.
Yeah. John's old-fashioned, good time penis cream that I marketed and distributed. The main ingredient was ketamine, but, yeah, and it's just not selling like I thought it would. So I gotta go back to finding a job, a 9-to-5-er, you know, it's like, shoot me!
Take all my ketamine, please!
Yeah, yeah, really.
So, yeah, we're back now, and discussing willful and woeful job opportunities for the 9-to-5-er. Pool Party Radio. That's what we have. Well, I guess it's time for these lightning rounds then.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, first up, out of Australia in New South Wales, an elaborate cancer hoax ends in a jail cell.
Oh.
A woman who concocted an elaborate cancer hoax to avoid a jail sentence has lost a final bid to escape punishment. Leanne Tracy Church began telling residents of Hill End in central New South Wales she had bowel cancer in 2006, not long after she was charged over serious assault at the local pub. So the end result is that this woman had claimed that she had bowel cancer to get a lighter sentencing from the judge for having assaulted another person at a pub. What is the furthest you have gone to get out of getting in trouble for something that you did?
Oh, are you kidding me?
Did you lie about having cancer?
Oh, yeah. All the time. I do that, like, to avoid long lines at the bathroom. Can you let me go? I have cancer. Thank you so much. Like, I don't mind doing that at all.
What about to get out of doing, like, chores when you're a kid? I remember, yeah. Like, I came out of the lawn. I just got cancer.
You know what? Oh, you want me to pick up the mail? Oh, you know, it's probably going to interfere with my cancer.
It's probably going to interfere with my cancer. Like, oh, I'm working on this cancer right now.
Yeah.
Sorry, I can't do it.
Seriously, if I had cancer, I'd be the biggest asshole you'd ever see. Like, I'd be like, can you pass me the remote? It's like a foot in front of you. Oh yeah, I would get it, but I have cancer. And then my friend would have to pass me the remote.
And then you respond with, "Every moment's precious," as you turn it to like Teen Moms on MTV.
Yeah. And I bet you could lie and get away with huge shit when you have cancer. You'd just be like, "Did you know that Thomas Jefferson was half horse?" Yeah, he was a centaur.
I don't think that's true.
Oh, what? Oh, I'm sorry. I read that on the way to my chemotherapy treatment.
You're so brave.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. I'm waiting for the day when I have, like, a debilitating disease so I can get away with saying whatever I want.
Yeah, just milk it. Milk it, milk it, milk it.
Now that we have the scientific knowledge to actually diagnose and understand where these things come from, that's the new form of retirement. Because, like,
yeah.
You know, 80 years ago, you'd retire, and then you die from natural causes, or because you got ran over by a horseless carriage or something.
That always happens.
One of those automobiles.
Yeah.
But now, we know exactly what's going on with our bodies, and, yeah, that's a new form of retirement. You're that kooky old person with cancer. So, don't know. This story about this woman out of Australia is especially weird, though, because she did not have cancer. And what's surprisingly hilarious about it is that her file photo in the news story, I guess when she's leaving the courthouse, she has her head down, like her eyes are downcast, so you just see, like, the top of her head. And she's laying out the double deuce. She has two middle fingers pointing at the cameras.
Yeah. Flipping the bird.
Like, fuck you. I had fake bowel cancer. Take that, Australia and world. Surprise.
See, that's the thing. In America, if you did that, they wouldn't be able to print that photo.
Yeah, in this case...
I guess they were. I guess they don't give a shit in Australia.
And news.com to Australia. Yeah, of course not. Of course not. Australia, the home of...
Aborigines.
The home of knucking futs.
and po-buddies nerfed.
Another news story. An ex-porn star, Harmony Rose, volunteers as EMT.
I'll let her revive me anytime she wants, am I right? Where did I put my gun?
Quietly sobbing comedy. Yeah. That's what we're headed towards. You have to...
It is. That's all anybody can ask for, really.
We have the future.
Just to drink a bullet.
Yep. Every joke I tell ends with me killing myself.
So you got a hell of an act, kid.
Harmony Rose has starred in such films as Farmer's Daughters Take It Off and Sack Lunch.
No way.
Yep. Yes way.
Wait. The movie was called Sack Lunch?
Yep. Sack Lunch.
Wait, wasn't that in a Seinfeld episode?
I'm sure it was. There were many pornographic Seinfeld episodes.
No. That title of the movie, Sack Lunch, it was in a Seinfeld episode where it was like,
they're watching porno, or is this the name?
No, it wasn't a porno. It was like an example of like a stupid movie that everyone wanted to see.
It was called
Sack Lunch.
Yeah.
And Elaine really wanted, it was the one with the English patient. Where Elaine hated the English patient. God, I know too much about Seinfeld. I swear to God, that's an actual thing. If someone on Pool Party Radio's listeners, one of you guys, could actually verify this for me, I will give you $3 million.
That was so close. Well done. But yeah, if you're aware of, if your Seinfeld knowledge is top notch, because we're obviously way too lazy to use Google at the
moment. What's that? Don't try and explain it. I'm too tired.
It's that cancer, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, she's training right now for her EMT position with the Cave Spring Rescue Squad in Roanoke, Virginia.
Oh.
And it's one of those things, again, where it's like, it's a total non-issue. This person wants to help save lives. Good for her. But the chief in command, she was not sure how to handle the situation, because she's not sure if this is going to look bad on the emergency rescue teams. So she contacted the attorney, the district attorney, seeing what she should do or what kind of action she should take going forward to not step on any toes or anything. And the attorney noted, anything that results in public ridicule of the volunteer squads must be avoided. But so far, it seems like everybody who knows about this is in complete support of her.
Oh, okay. That's good. So there's no issue. So you basically brought up a dumb news story. Thank you, Jason.
You're welcome. What's more important is that the news station who reported in the first place, they were... really taking effects to make her look bad by providing a Google search link on their website in the news story to where you could find her videos and pictures.
Yeah, I like that. Can you Facebook me, DM that to me?
No.
Okay.
You can do it yourself. That's part of the point. It's like,
it's just this cancer.
People could obviously... do this thing on their own.
It's this cancer I got. It's eating away my ambition. I don't know what's going on.
among everything else, it's just eating away your ambition. I think I just have mono or something.
I've never kissed a girl.
Just your hand. Just the back of your hand.
Yeah. That counts for a half, right?
Yeah. So next up on Lightning Round. A yoga teacher was fired for glaring at a Facebook employee.
Oh, I heard about this.
Yeah, a yoga instructor at Facebook's Menlo Park campus had only a few simple rules for a classroom in order to keep it silent and focused. And one of those was to not use a fucking cell phone when you're in the class. And lo and behold, one of the employees was in the class using a cell phone. So all the teacher did was give her a dirty look and...
Some might call it a stink eye.
Maybe a stink eye. The employee reported it to that yoga trainer's boss, who promptly fired her. Fired the yoga trainer. So, is this...
The wave of the future?
The wave of the future or the wave of the past? Because we actually just talked about this last week, where it's like crazy capitalists, industrialist capitalists.
Yeah.
Like, throw your desk out in the front lawn and set it on fire if they didn't like you.
No, it's crazy that you can be like, what? You offended a Facebook employee? Oh, you must be fired. Because she was being a dick.
Yeah. This actually reminds me of when I was teaching, a college class, like basically was just the most entitled people in the world, questioning your very simple request for your own classroom. So it's like, I don't want you to use your phone, but I need to text. No, you don't. You really don't.
It can wait. Haven't you seen those signs on the highway? Don't text and drive. It can wait. Well, don't text and study, you dumbass.
That's what I would say. Those exact words. I'd call them a dumbass.
Yeah, you should have.
But that's not what got me fired.
Oh, okay.
No.
It was the cancer.
Yeah, most definitely. This is odd to me. I find it bizarre that if somebody would go out of their way, be like, yeah, I was doing exactly what she didn't want, but she had no right to look at me that way. You're right.
I know I'm saying it wrong, but seriously, like, looking at me in front of everybody when I was making an ass out of myself, like, what?
I know. Like, why do the demons get to run amok
in
all of this? It's like, you're the asshole. Don't make any mistake about it. Like, you're the one using the fucking cell phone.
How can you even text and do yoga? I don't even know that.
I don't know, man. Maybe, not having second thoughts, maybe this asshole should be the yoga instructor. Like, if she can yoga and text at the same time, maybe that's the way of the future.
I feel like she was just sitting in the half lotus position texting while everyone else was doing downward facing dog. And then the teacher was like, hey, gave her a little bit of a hey. You're kind of being a bitch right now. And she's like, oh, I'm going to complain.
Hey, you're being kind of a bitch right now. She seemed to say with her decidedly deceptive glare.
Yeah.
No words were spoken, but she could read it all. But anyway, that sucks. Yeah, blame the yoga instructor. Fire the yoga instructor. It's not like that'll be hard to find a job or anything. Not in this economy.
Not in this economy. I tell you, ketamine sales are down.
Ketamine sales are down. We need to change this.
Yoga instructing positions are open, though.
The last bit on Lightning Round today is the right or wrong use of Facebook chat monitoring. And recently, Facebook was able to use, on March 9th of this year, they were able to monitor chats between a man in his early 30s chatting with sex with a 13-year-old South Florida girl.
Oh, come on.
And planned to meet her after middle school classes the next day. Authorities were able to use this information and capture him before it even took place. John, you're looking very sexual again.
You thought I'd bring that to this conversation about an underage girl, an extremely underage girl, in middle school even, still. Jesus Christ. So what, you want to know my take on this?
Yeah, sure.
Invasion of privacy?
Yeah. Because we have to do conspiracy theorists as well.
Yeah. Well, listen, did you know that Kennedy had a secretary named Lincoln? And Lincoln had a secretary who told him, I'm going to kill you. Yeah.
And wasn't it also that John Kennedy was driving in a Ford on the day that he was shot, and Abraham Lincoln also started Ford Motor Company?
Yes. Yeah. You believe that shit? It's like the government wants you to think, oh, it's just coincidence. It's not. It is not.
What about Facebook,
it's Facebook. Like, you send out to Facebook at your work, people are gonna monitor it. People monitor that shit all the time. So who the fuck cares? It's Facebook. Don't fucking send sexual messages to a 13-year-old girl in South Florida where they're the sluts. But don't do that on Facebook. How about that? Get her number. Call her.
Be a gentleman about this.
Yeah, really. Don't just pull up to her house and honk and expect her to run out. Go up to the door. Say, hi, my name is, Edward, and I'm 30 years old. I'd like to take your 13-year-old daughter out. And in South Florida, they'd probably be like, oh, hell yeah!
Yeah, I mean, if this were like 1850s America, it'd be totally acceptable. I want a goodly wife. Can she be of a ripe age of 13?
Yes. Yes, she may. Thee will have all that thee desires.
I think he went back to biblical era speech. Yeah.
My character was a Quaker, so.
Yeah, so I actually liked talking about conspiracy theories more than I like talking about this. This is an awkward invasion of privacy thing, but pedophilia is terrible, so good on them for catching a pederast.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, pedophilia is wrong, but I'm all for catching people on Facebook, but I don't know, sometimes those to catch a predator things and shit, it's just, I mean, I couldn't sleep with a 17-year-old girl when I was 17. Much less now that I'm 10 years older, fatter, and balding. So maybe it's just me rambling like an asshole right now.
I think what you're saying is that we all want to live the sweet life with Zach and Cody, but
yeah,
we can't.
No.
You just have to grin and bear it and just say that's so Raven and keep going on.
Yeah. Say good luck, Charlie, and move on.
We'll be right back with the rest of Pool Party Radio after this.
Hello, my name is Jesse P.S., and I'm the host of the Pod Awful podcast. What is Pod Awful? Well, it's one of the funniest comedy talk shows online. Every Monday, my comedian friends and I talk live on air about anything we want. We get way too personal, and we fuck up everyone's feelings. Things have happened on this show, such as calling an actual 10-year-old girl to tell her that there's no such thing as Santa or God. Real friendships have ended on my show. My ex-girlfriend called into the show live to break up with me on air. I have given out personal information on friends, family members, strangers, by accident, sometimes on purpose, sometimes it's well deserved. We one time convinced a kid that 9/11 never happened, and everyone in New York City knows about it and is in on the lie. That's what you can expect from Pod Awful. Maybe you'll like it, maybe you won't, but hey, haters gonna hate, and I don't give a shit. You can watch every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time live at podawful.com/TV. Watch the video, chat in the Chaz room, hang out, call into the show. We are at podawful.com. We are part of the Red Band Network, and until you check us out, have an awful day.
That's another episode of Pool Party Radio, episode 67. I want to thank John Holmes for being on the show with me in this lonely, lonely escapade without Parker, but Parker will be back next week.
You know what? Parker's dead to us.
Yeah.
He's probably over in his grave right now.
He's new Daniel Tosh. He's got a petition against his ever coming back on the internet. The Saved by the Bell episode's coming up. So to get in touch with us, you can always email us at poolpartyradio@gmail.com. Leave us a Facebook comment or message at facebook.com/poolpartyradio. Like us on iTunes. Give us those highest stars ratings that you ever could give. Give us comments. Tell us what you like or don't like about the show. Catch up on past episodes on the iTunes, or if you want to hear some of our earlier, significantly more crappy but still excellent episodes, you can find those on poolpartyradio.com. And also find us on Stitcher. Thanks again, John, for being on the show. Where can people find you?
They can find me at the places I said before. Come to Go Bananas on the 25th and vote for me, July 25th. It's a Wednesday.
That's the Funniest Man in Cincinnati competition continued.
Round two, Secret of the Use.
Funniest person in Cincy.
Yep. Also, you can find me on Twitter at John D, the letter D, Holmes. And yeah, I'm hilarious. Just check me out.
He's absolutely hilarious. And you can also find Parker and I and Pool Party Radio on Twitter at Jason Frisbee, at Parker Arizona, and at Pool Party Radio. Also, check out all our podcast bros, like Acid Pop Cult and
yeah.
Bad Land Girls and Red Band Network, where you can find Pod Awful and Ear Candy and us. So, this is Jason Frisbee for the absent Parker Bowman and the excellent co-host John Holmes saying, fuck you, Chelios.
The good time. Short-sighted, false assignment, and what can I say? Have one, have 20 more, one more, and it does not relent. The good times are killing me. Talked all night, oh, but what the hell did we say? The good times are killing me. The good times are killing me. The good times are killing me.
End up with all that LSD. Need more sleep than coke or methamphetamines. Late nights with warm whiskey. I guess the good times, they were all just killing me.
Have one, have 20 more, one more, and though it does not relent.
That's it.
What was that? Chelios?
Chelios. Fuck you, Chelios.
Alright, is that a thing?
That's a thing that he says at the end of each episode now.
Okay.
I'm glad you've been listening to the show.
You know what, Jason? I worked all day, and then I go out from, like, around, like, 6:30 to, like, 12 o'clock at night. I sleep, and then I get up and work.
I trust the legitimacy of what you just said by how many times you said, like, in between words.
Like, you don't even, like, understand. Like, yeah.